Today is the 27th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we gather again around the global campfire like we do every day. And I, for one, am grateful. I want to take for granted what we have here, that the Lord would let us live at a time when technology like this exists, that we can be knit together all over the world, centered around the scriptures. That's amazing. So, grateful to be here, grateful to be with you, grateful to be around the global campfire, and grateful to take the next step forward. And that next step has us back in the book of 2 Chronicles. We will spend the next several days working our way through the conclusion of 2 Chronicles. And so let's take the next step forward. Today, 2 Chronicles chapters 19 and 20. When Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned safely to his palace in Jerusalem, Jehu the seer, son of Hanani, went out to meet him and said to the king, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the wrath of the Lord is on you. There is, however, some good in you, for you have rid the land of the Asherah poles and have set your heart on seeking God." Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, and turned them back to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. He appointed judges in the land, in each of the fortified cities of Judah. He told them, "Consider carefully what you do, because you are not judging for mere mortals, but for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Now let the fear of the Lord be on you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery." In Jerusalem also, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites, priests, and heads of Israelite families to administer the law of the Lord and to settle disputes, and they lived in Jerusalem. He gave them these orders: "You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. In every case that comes before you from your people who live in the cities, whether bloodshed or other concerns of the law, commands, decrees, or regulations, you are to warn them not to sin against the Lord. Otherwise, his wrath will come on you and your people. Do this, and you will not sin. Amariah, the chief priest, will be over you in any matter concerning the Lord, and Zebediah, son of Ishmael, the leader of the tribe of Judah, will be over you in any matter concerning the king. And the Levites will serve as officials before you. Act with courage, and may the Lord be with those who do well." After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Munites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hatzetzan Tamar," that is, En Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. So Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shilhi. He followed the ways of his father Asa, and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed, and the people still had not set their hearts on the God of their ancestors. The other events of Jehoshaphat's reign, from beginning to end, are written in the annals of Jehu, son of Hanani, which are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel. Later, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, made an alliance with Ahaziah, king of Israel, whose ways were wicked. He agreed with them to construct a fleet of trading ships. After these were built at Ezion-Geber, Eleazar, son of Dodavahu of Mereshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because you have made an alliance with Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy what you have made." The ships were wrecked and were not able to set sail to trade. Romans 10, 14 through 11, 12. How then can they call on the only one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our message?" Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, "I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding." And Isaiah boldly says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me." But concerning Israel, he says, "All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people, whom he foreknew. Don't you know what Scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? "Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me." And what does God answer to him? "I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal." So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What the people of Israel sought so earnestly, they did not obtain. The elect among them did, but the others were hardened. As it is written, "God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear, to this very day." And David says, "May their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever." Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? Psalm 21, for the director of music, a psalm of David. The king rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories you give! You have granted him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. you came to greet him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Your hand will lay hold on all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. When you appear for battle, you will burn them up as in a blazing furnace. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and his fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, their posterity from mankind. Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed. You will make them turn their backs when you aim at them with a drawn bow. Be exalted in your strength, O Lord. We will sing and praise your might. Proverbs 20, 4 through 6. Sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? Okay, so in the book of 2 Chronicles today, we encounter a story with King Jehoshaphat and an invading army that really gives us a posture or a lesson to learn for our own lives. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we feel really boxed in, like there's no avenue of escape, there's no way out, there attack is coming against us and there's no way out, and it seems like we're going to be destroyed. And this is the scenario that's happening under King Jehoshaphat's reign. This story takes place in Jerusalem, but also in the Judean desert, with the Dead Sea as the great landmark, and three armies from nations on the other side of the Dead Sea have allied themselves together to cross the Dead Sea and invade the land and attacking Jerusalem. And so by the time King Jehoshaphat understands what's happening, these invading armies have invaded. They've crossed over the Dead Sea and now they're sort of assembling and grouping for the war. And they're at a place called En-Gedi, which is a source of fresh water in the desert. The Dead Sea region, we've talked about this before, is barren wilderness. It's full-on desert. It's the lowest point on the earth. And although there's plenty of water in the Dead Sea, it's not drinkable at all. And so the oasis of En-Gedi still exists until today. That's something we've talked about in the past too. There's a beautiful little waterfall there, as well as a lot of history there, biblical and otherwise. So King Jehoshaphat feared God, restored the people to God. He was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. But despite his efforts of restoring the land to God, this vast horde was coming to attack Jerusalem. And they weren't that far away, about 18 miles. So they didn't have time to get a committee together and call in the army garrisons and build reinforcements and make a plan for how to subvert the plans of the invading army. They didn't have this kind of time, and they didn't have resources to make it happen either. And so King Jehoshaphat was terrified. And maybe that's a point we should sit with for a second. He was afraid, and for good reason. So let's acknowledge that. He was afraid. When circumstances in our lives come out of nowhere and we feel boxed in and we don't know what to do, we can feel those feelings of being just completely overwhelmed and confused and hopeless. We can find ourselves having panic attacks or night terrors. And so it's the next move in this story that can give us guidance. Because Jehoshaphat was terrified. He was afraid of the implications of what could happen. But he didn't melt down. He didn't go in the other direction either and just go into overdrive, trying to do everything possible to see if there's anything that could be done to reinforce Jerusalem. He also didn't send ambassadors down to the armies to negotiate terms of surrender. What he did do was beg the Lord to tell them what to do. He called all the people together to fast and stand before the Lord and beg God for his assistance. And that's very much worth paying attention to, because often when we find ourselves in these kinds of circumstances where we don't know what to do and there doesn't seem to be a way out and we feel threatened and unsafe, God often becomes the last ditch effort rather than the first move we make. And this may invariably lead us to have experiences that are very, very difficult that could have been avoided. Jehoshaphat called his people together to come before the Lord, to worship God, to declare his faithfulness and his power, and to be honest and acknowledge the situation. And I quote the king here, King Jehoshaphat, "Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And what is being declared here is the lesson that the children of Israel had been learning all the way since their deliverance from slavery: utter dependence on God. And this is what Jehoshaphat is acknowledging. We don't know what to do. There's nothing in our power we can do. We are utterly dependent on you. And as the story goes, God responds, and he speaks through a Levite named Jahaziel. And the message is, well, let me just quote it. "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." And they obeyed, and they went out in obedience to the instructions the Lord had given them, and their role in the story ended up being that of a spectator. The armies of the three allied nations turned on one another and destroyed themselves. And so entering into this story helps us to see that when we're walking with God, we're moving along in our lives, and we're surprised by something that invades us, that we didn't see coming, that we're not prepared for, that we don't have time to get prepared for, and we don't have resources to prepare for. Then this story reminds us that moving into panic and anxiety and thrashing around trying to save ourselves in our own strength probably won't work and is unnecessary. Life for each of us, and I guess there are people that go through life with no problems or no challenges, but I don't know any of them. And the circumstances of life sometimes do feel like we're surrounded and there's no way out. And we just need to remember that the move is that we will have to surrender. But we will not be surrendering to the enemy. We surrender to God. Our hope and utter dependence is in God, and we get to watch what he will do. And so, Father, we thank you for that encouragement from 2 Chronicles today that reorients us yet again to the fact that we have to remind ourselves every day we're not the ones in control here. And sometimes we have the illusion that we are, but life has a way of continually reminding us that we're not. We are reminded that we are utterly dependent on you. Our hope is in you, and the outcomes are in your hands. And so we once again declare our allegiance and loyalty to you. Our hope is in you. Holy Spirit, come and comfort us. Our confidence is in you and you alone. And so we surrender. Circumstances come and they twist us in a knot and we don't even know what we're seeing anymore. And we can make ourselves crazy inside, or we can surrender, and we surrender to you. You are the Lord of Heaven's armies. There is none other than you. There is no force or power above or beside you. And we are your children. And so we hope in you, Father. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is where you can find out what's happening around here. Alternatively, you can put that in the palm of your hand. Just go to the app store that works with your device and download the Daily Audio Bible app. That is free, and it does all that the website does and a lot more. So check that out. Check out the different sections. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there and a number of categories for the journey that we are on together. This journey through the Bible in a year. The journey through a year of life together in community as we step forward each day. So check out the resources in the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Karen in Florida. I am asking you all to keep my young friend Veronica in your prayers. Veronica is struggling with finding her way in life. She has been an addict for many years and has had times where she has been doing okay, but once again falls into the wrong crowd and rejects going to church and living her life for the Lord. I just really pray that the Lord would intervene in her life and help her, and that she would hear his voice speaking to her, and that she'd be delivered from her addiction to chemicals, drugs that are trying to kill her. She has such a sweet soul, but she's been through a horrific life. So I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to intervene in her life. Deliver her from these addictions and fears, and help her to find a place to live, Lord, where she could be safe and it would be permanent, and she'd feel comfortable and she'd feel loved, and that she would no longer feel afraid in her life. And somewhere for her cat to live too, with her. Simple life. I pray for her in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, DAB family. This is Karen in Florida, and I just wanted to pray for God's Prince's Warrior Ina, who called in. I'm just listening to the community prayer line today, and I heard her calling in and felt her pain as she talks about her relationship struggles with her daughters, and especially the one who's being very cruel. And Father, I know that it's a difficult journey with children that want nothing to do with you and who reject you. So I just pray with my sister for her daughter, for both of her daughters who have turned away from you, Lord, who don't want you in their lives. But I know that deep inside their hearts, they're hurting, Lord, because they don't know the love of Christ. And they don't know that the very thing that they're looking for is right there in you. So I just pray for her daughters today, God, that they would know the love of Christ in their hearts, that they would find you, Lord, that you would appear to them in their life, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear your truth, that you would convict them of their behavior towards their mother. And I pray you would also help her, Lord, Ina, to have patience and a loving heart, and amidst the hurt and the pain, to just be strong and in Christ, and that you'd give her the strength she needs, Lord, to stand firm in her faith through this time. Lord, we're just praying a blessing on this relationship today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Zach, this is God's Life Speaker. You called in. You're a 21-year-old. Your grandfather, the most amazing man that you know, is suffering in the hospital right now from this lymphoma cancer that is spreading and pressing on his brain, and he was unresponsive. You are just the age that my son was when my mom was heaven's gain, and you sound just as sad or hopeful, maybe, even as he did, and it just took me back to 2 years ago. So, Heavenly Father, you know the whole story. Thank you. Would you just uphold Zach and his family? We pray mercy over his grandfather. We pray that you would just be in the midst and your presence would be so felt. There would be no denying. You know, and your hand is all over this situation. We pray for comfort. We pray the miraculous healing, of course, Lord. But if this grandpa needs to be heaven's gain, then what a glorious day it will be. Lord, just bring comfort, bring assurance, bring church family, bring family together around Zach. And Lord, we just trust you. Gotta trust you. And we just want to see your hand moving in miraculous ways. We thank you, Lord, that you're in the midst of all things, that you are here and you never go anywhere. We thank you for being the solid rock that Zach and all of us can stand on. We thank you, Lord. Bless you. In Jesus' name.
Hello, I am Joy Will Find a Way, and I'm calling in for a dear friend of mine who suffered a catastrophic stroke. Her name is Caroline, and she lives in Mexico right now, and her family's from Belgium, and they're repatriating her. They're in the process of putting all the pieces together for her to be sent back to Belgium with medical transfer. I'm praying for safety for that transfer, and I'm praying for her recovery. I got to see her last week in Tijuana, and she made eye contact with me, but that's all she can do right now. She has locked-in syndrome. I pray for her healing. I pray for her safe journey. Thank you for joining me in praying for my dear friend, Caroline, and her recovery from this severe stroke. Thank you.